one of the best parts of the shiur was that I got to spend time learning with my mother. Okay, we have a tall, ambitious schedule for this morning to try to first mention something about the parsha, but then to conclude our discussion of Psukei Dezimra for this section. Obviously, it's not really a conclusion. We're just beginning learning and studying and appreciating Psukei Dezimra, but for this go-around, this will be our conclusion. So let's begin just with a thought about the parsha. Finding a reference to tefillah in this week's parsha is quite simple. It's the name of the parsha, Va'eschanan el Hashem. The word Va'eschanan means, and I davened, and as Unkelus renders it, Vatzalesi, I davened, I prayed to Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu entreated Hashem to be able to enter into the land of Israel. And Rashi says something quite fascinating. Rashi has two pshatim. Rashi commenting on the word Va'eschanan. How does Va'eschanan refer to tefillah? So the second pshat Rashi says is that that's one of 10 words that refer to prayer. And Rashi enumerates all 10 languages of prayer. There's actually a beautiful sefer written by Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Zichrono Levracha, where the sefer is entitled Sha'arim B'Tfilah. He actually goes through each of the 10 words of tefillah and describes what they mean particularly. But the first thing Rashi says is that the word Va'eschanan comes from the shorish of chinam. It doesn't look exactly like that if you look at the word, but the letters chain we know means grace, but chinam means for free. And Rashi says that tzaddikim, when they beseech Hashem, they don't rely on their merits, on their zchuyos, but they ask for a matnas chinam, they ask for something from Hashem, even irrespective of their merits and if they're deserving. They ask for a matnas chinam. And the word Va'eschanan connotes that idea of a matnas chinam. But the Balat Turim adds a third idea. The Balat Turim says that the gematria of Va'eschanan, if we look at it together, Vav and Aleph are 7, with a Tav, that's 407, with an Aches, that's 8, that's 415. And then another 50 and 50 would be 515, is the same gematria as the word shira. Shira is the gematria of 515. 400 plus 10 plus 300 plus 10 plus 200 plus 5 is 515. It's the same gematria. And Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to employ shira as a tefillah. One of my brother-in-laws, Rabbi Avram Willig, one of my brothers-in-law, Rabbi Avram Willig said, explained or wanted to suggest that Hashem has to tell Moshe Rabbeinu Ravlach to stop davening. He doesn't want him to daven anymore. That the shira, perhaps a davening in the form of shira, in a form of song, is something that cannot be unanswered, cannot go unanswered. In other words, the power of tefillah, when one harnesses the additional power of song, is something which is perhaps unstoppable. That was his thought, but the point is that Shira and Tefillah are certainly connected through the word here, Va'eschanan, and I think that's very appropriate as we move into our conclusion of Psukei Dezimra, which is certainly a Shira of Tefillah. Shira and Zimra are similar. They could be synonymous. We'll see in a moment that they're not exactly synonymous, but they certainly have that commonality of song and praise, and that's the whole essence of Psukei Dezimra, songs of praise of Hashem, shiros v'sishbachos, singing the praises of Hashem through the words of Tehillim, through the words of Tanakh, through the words of the Torah, as we'll see in a moment. That's part of what Psukei Dezimra is all about. So let's discuss 3 concluding sections of Psukei Dezimra. Last time we discussed the 5 Halleluka prayers, or we concluded the 5 Halleluka prayers, which is what follows Ashrei, Tehillah LeDavid. And we have a mini conclusion within that section of the Hallelukas with the paragraph of Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen, which in fact are actually 4 psukim of conclusion from Tehillim themselves. In other words, there are five books of Tehillim. Just like there are five books of the Torah, the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, David HaMelech also authored five books of Tehillim. What does that mean, five books of Tehillim? If you go to your shelf, you'll find one book of Tehillim. Well, actually, the one book of Tehillim, which has 150 chapters, is really divided. There are subdivisions within the Tehillim, and with those subdivisions are really five separate books. And the Sukkim that we mention here at the end of the Hallelujahs, Baruch Hashem le'olam amen ve'amen, is the concluding pasuk of Perek Peites in Tehillim, the 89th chapter of Tehillim, and that is the conclusion of the third book of Tehillim. Baruch Hashem le'olam amen ve'amen. The conclusion, that's the first pasuk that we mentioned. Then we say, Baruch Hashem etzion shochein Yerushalayim haluka, which is a pasuk of conclusion right before the what's referred to as the Hallel HaGadol, the 136th chapter of Tehillim. We mentioned that briefly. The parak of Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Kili Olam Chasto, all the Kili Olam Chasto psukim. So that is also, in a certain sense, a segue, in terms of a concluding pasuk, Baruch Hashem Tzion Shochein Yerushalayim Hallelujah. Blessed is Hashem from Tzion, Shochein Yerushalayim, resides in Yerushalayim Hallelujah. And then that also precedes, it concludes the parak of Tehillim, the parak of Hallelujah, Hashem Hashem, Hallelu Avde Hashem. And it segues to further praise the parak of Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Kili Olam Chasdo. And then the final two psukim in this mini paragraph are the psukim that conclude the second parak, the second sefer of Sefer Tehillim. So we begin with the pasuk that concludes the third book of Tehillim. We then mention a pasuk which segues into further praise, what's referred to as Hallel HaGadol, and then two psukim which conclude the second sefer of Sefer Tehillim, the very end of Perek Ayin Beis. And Perek Ayin Beis is a pasuk that David HaMelech writes L'Shlomo. He authors a pasuk, a Perek of Tehillim, either referring to his son, Shlomo HaMelech, or referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the king, Shah Shalom Shalom. And the very end, the last two psukim are Baruch Hashem Elokim Elokei Yisrael Osei Nifla'os Levado, Uvaruch Shein Kvodo Li'olam, Amen ve'amen. And then there are five additional words. Kalu silos David ben Ishai. That is the conclusion of the tefilos of David, the son of Ishai. Now, this is the 72nd chapter of Tehillim, Tehillim Ayin Beis. There are more than half of Tehillim still to go. If there are 150 chapters, and this is chapter 72, so it's less than half. So what does that mean that kalu tefilos David ben Yishai? The Farshim point out that this is a reference, that these psukim, or this parak, is a reference to the times of Mashiach, and the times of Mashiach, that will be a time when the potential for praise is, so to speak, reaches a maximum, so that we kind of reach our potential in terms of praising Hashem, and that's what's meant by Kalu Tfilos David ben Yishai. It doesn't mean that this is the end of Sefer Tehillim, it's certainly not. Although it does pick up, the next parak picks up with Mizmar La'asaf. It's not specifically David HaMelech's chapters, but we know that we're going to come back to other parakim which are ascribed to David. But this refers to a certain time in history when perhaps we reach our potential of praise. And that is a fitting conclusion to this section of Psukei de Zimra, where we end off with these psukim, which speak of a time when we are going to be able to reach our potential of praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The doubling of Amen ve'Amen, Mefarshim point out, is a concept that the word Amen actually has two meanings. Amen can be a verification. In other words, we state that we believe in that which was said. So anyone says a bracha and you respond Amen. That means, say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Sha'akol Nieh B'Dvaro. Person has a drink of water. Sha'akol Nieh B'Dvaro. That everything came about through Hashem's word. And somebody responds, Amen. Amen means, yes, I affirm that that's correct. Sha'kol niyeh b'dvaro. That is one interpretation of Amen. There's actually another interpretation of Amen. Amen is like a statement of Ken Yeratzon. That's, in fact, the way it should be. In other words, it's a prayer. Amen. We hope it to be that way. Now, for a bracha of Shakol Niyeh B'dvaro, everything happened through the word of Hashem, the Amen there is an affirmation that we agree with what was said. We verify and we affirm our belief in the statement. But let's say a bracha, one is listening to Chazaras HaShatz of davening, and he's listening to the Chazan say, Baruch Atah Hashem Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael, and Hashem heals the sick of Amo Yisrael. So, Amen, yes, we affirm that, and Amen, Ken Yeratzon. So too, it should be the will of Hashem. So when we double the Amen at the end of this Pasuk, again, that's part of the Pasuk, V'malei Chvodo Es Kol Ha'aretz, Amen V'Amen, U'Baruch Shem Chvodo Li'olam, God's, the name of Hashem and His glory should be blessed forever, V'malei Chvodo Es Kol Ha'aretz, and Hashem's glory should fill the entire world, Amen. Yes, we believe, we affirm our belief in that statement, but also we say, so it should be. So we should merit seeing the fulfillment of these prophecies of David HaMelech of the time of Mashiach when we're able to maximize our potential in terms of praise of Hashem. That's why we double that statement, Amen V'Amen. We mentioned last week that the doubling in general sometimes connotes a conclusion, as in the last pasuk of Tehillim, where we double it, Kol HaNeshama Tehalka Haluka, and we say it again to symbolize that end of that concluding part of that concluding Hallelujah. And over here as well, again, Amen V'Amen, we're doubling it. It's the end of a Sefer of Tehillim. We're doubling it to connote these two interpretations. We verify the blessing and our belief in it, and we say, so should it be, so should we merit seeing that in our times. That is the first conclusion of Psukei D'Zimra, but we know that it's not yet done. And we then... Excellent. That's this week's Haftorah. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. That's a double Nechama. Excellent. Very good. That's at the beginning. That's good. And the Mefarshim do discuss that as well. Why is it a double Nechama? That Hashem is charging the prophets with a directive to comfort the people. Okay. Okay. We then move on to the parak of Ayivarech David Es Hashem Leinei Kol HaKahal. Now those psukim, if you're following in the Siddur, I'm on page 31 in the All Hebrew Siddur. It would be on page, in the English, it's on page 234. It's okay, if you don't have a Siddur, it's fine as well. It's on 234 in the English, on 31 in the All Hebrew. The first paragraph, the way it's actually printed in the Siddur, it looks like the paragraph begins with Vayivarech David Es Hashem Leinei Kol HaKahal, and it looks like the paragraph concludes Umatzasas Levavo Ne'eman Lefanecha. That's how it looks, that's how it appears in the Siddur. There is a paragraph break, but it's almost, at least in the bold, traditionally, and that's the way Artsville has it as well, the bold word is in front of the word Vayivarech David, and then the next bold word is from V'charosi Mo HaBris. Now that's a little bit misleading, because there are actually two sections here citations from two sections of Tanakh. Vayivarech David is from Divrei HaYamim, Perek Chavtes, Divrei Yamim Aleph, and the next section begins with Atahu Hashem Levadecha, which is a citation from Sefer Nehemiah. If we remember way back at the beginning, a couple of weeks ago, we discussed Hodu Lashem Kiru Vishmo. It's also a selection from Divrei HaYamim. And that was the opening of Psukei D'Zimra. And we have that after Baruch Shamar, Nosuch Svard begins Psukei D'Zimra with Hodu Lashem Kiru Vishmo. Here, we now conclude Psukei D'Zimra with another section of Divrei HaYamim, which was David's tefillah at the end, towards the end of his life. What is the context of this tefillah? David HaMelech had amassed an entire treasury, gold and silver and textiles, to build the Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem told him that it was not going to be his job, but it was going to be Shlomo HaMelech's job to build the Beis HaMikdash. But David had assembled everything, all of the materials, through which to build the Beis HaMikdash himself. we say in actually at the beginning, the fourth psukim is in Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. Mizmor Shir on the dedication of the house to David. The Medrash actually, again, parenthetically, the Medrash asks, it wasn't David's house. Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. So the Medrash's answer is that Lefisha Nasan Nafsho Aleha Nikra Al Shemo. That David HaMelech had dedicated himself to the ideal of having a Beis HaMikdash. Hashem precluded him from actually building the temple, the Beis HaMikdash, but he had laid the foundation, not only certainly the spiritual foundation. He had purchased the site of the Beis HaMikdash, but he had also, the Psukim tell us in Divrei HaYamim, he had also amassed all of the necessary materials to build the Beis HaMikdash. And then David HaMelech made an appeal, and he told the people that I have gathered together all the materials necessary, but if you want to contribute, you have the opportunity to contribute as well. And everybody came forward very generously. They wanted to partake and participate, and they came and they donated. And David's reaction, it was a time of great joy because everybody had showed their interest in being part of this project. And Vayivarech David es Hashem le'inei kol ha'kahal. And David then bestows a blessing to Am Yisrael who have so graciously joined in this project of building the Beis HaMikdash. Vayomer David baruch ha'Hashem elokei Yisrael avinu me'olam v'ad olam. So this section, which the context being the idea of building the Beis HaMikdash, the context being towards the end of David HaMelech's life, a blessing that he bestows upon the people, is a very fitting conclusion to the beginning part of Psukei DeZimra, where we also mentioned the tefillah of David HaMelech at the time when the Aron was brought back to Yerushalayim, and the karbanos that were brought in front of the Aron in Yerushalayim. That was earlier in David's career. This is now towards the end of David's career, the blessing that he bestows upon Am Yisrael. So here again, we open with a section from Divrei HaYamim, with Hodu Hashem, and now we close Psukei DeZimra. We kind of bring that to a close in full circle. Again, another section from Divrei HaYamim, David HaMelech's final words of blessing to Am Yisrael. Now let's just look at them a little bit more carefully. What does David tell Bnei Yisrael? Vayomer David baruch ata Hashem Elokei Yisrael avinu me'olam v'ad olam. Blessed are you, Hashem Elokei Yisrael avinu, the God of Yisrael our Father, me'olam v'ad olam, from now and forever. In other words, even though we're mentioning words of blessing throughout our Psukei DeZimra, we know that these blessings are not complete. We know that our words of blessing and praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are just, so to speak, scratching the surface, or not really even scratching the surface. And the blessings of Hashem are me'olam ve'ad olam, beyond our concept of time. Hashem transcends time. Hashem is immortal. And therefore, the blessings also extend me'olam ve'ad olam. Le'enei kol ha'kahol. Rav Shua points out an interesting idea, just on the first pasuk, le'enei kol ha'kahol. It should say lifnei kol ha'kahol. Why le'enei? To the eyes of the entire congregation. So he just explains very practically that if all of Am Yisrael was assembled and David HaMelech was addressing the crowd, presumably it wasn't something that everybody was able to hear. There was no microphone. And everybody couldn't hear it, but it was le'enei kol ha'kahol. In other words, everybody saw what was happening, and everybody appreciated the ma'amad, the event that David HaMelech was conferring blessing on Am Yisrael, and therefore they made it their business to make sure to find out, even if they didn't hear, even if they didn't get the box seats, they made sure to find out exactly what David HaMelech had conveyed. So the pasuk is conveying that by saying it was le'nei kol ha'kahal. Okay. L'cha Hashem ha'gedula v'ha'gevura v'ha'teferes v'ha'netzach v'ha'hod k'chol v'ha'shamayim v'ha'aretz. Rav Schwab points out that these phrases, these expressions of gedula, gevura, teferes, netzach, and hod, they refer to Kabbalistic concepts of spheros, which are beyond, at least his explanation, beyond certainly my understanding. But the interesting point just to note about that is that he explains that that's why the custom is to stand for this paragraph. Interestingly, he says that we should be standing for this paragraph from Divrei HaYamim because David HaMelech is mentioning these great attributes, these Kabbalistic concepts in reference to Hashem that warrants us to stand up. Technically, we could sit down for the next two paragraphs, starting from Atahu Hashem Levadecha, the citations from Nehemiah. And then we should really stand up again for Az Yashir, because that refers to the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He connects that back to the word in Pesukei Dezimra, V'nam Lichecha, that we will coronate you, Hashem. And we talk about the Shiras Hayam, which concludes with Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed, and that again warrants us to stand. But because people don't like standing, sitting, and standing, therefore the custom just developed that a person ideally should stand from Vayivarech David all the way through Yishtabach. But technically, his point is that the reason, or his question is, where did it come from to stand over here for the paragraph of Vayivarech David? Again, it could be that when David HaMelech blessed Am Yisrael, they all were standing in the presence of the king. Certainly, that stands to reason. But his point is that it's really these words over here of Gedula, Gevura, Teferes, Netzach, Ve'ahod, which connote these ideas of Hashem's emanations of his glory and how they're manifest in this world, which is a concept referred to as Sphiros. That's a Kabbalistic concept. We might come across it. We come across the concept of Sphiros during Sphiras HaOmer, fine print within the Sphiras HaOmer. Each day relates to a different one of the seven Sphiros and the different combinations. Also, the Ushpizin concept on Sukkot ties into that concept of Sphiros. But again, just in the simple interpretation, we know that these are words of praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even on a more simple level, the words Gedula and Gevura and Tiferes, Rav Schwab explains, refer to three attributes of Hashem. Gedula, referring to Midas HaChesed of Hashem, and that's representative of Avraham Avinu. Gevura, referring to Midas HaDin of Hashem, which is associated with Yitzchak. And Tiferes is the combination of Rachamim, or Chesed, and Din, and that is associated with Yaakov Avinu. So Gedula, Gevura, Vatiferes, those are three, a reference to the three Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay. The Osher, the Akavod, Milifanecha. We say that Osher, wealth, and Kavod, and honor, Milifanecha, comes from you, Hashem. And Rav Schwab here points to a Mishnah, a reference in a Mishnah in Meseches Avos, a very beautiful Mishnah in the third parak of Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says as follows: Rabbi Elazar, Ish Bar Tosa Omer. Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tosa, the Tana, by the name of Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tosa, said, or would say, Ten lo mishelo. Give to him with a capital H, referring to Hashem, mishelo, from that which is his, She'ata v'shelcha shelo, because both you and what you have come from Hashem. The idea being that when we have the opportunity to use the resources and the talents that Hashem has endowed each and every one of us with in the service of Hashem, that's just giving back to Hashem that which He has ingrained and endowed us with. So ten lo mishelo, she'ata v'shelcha shelo, and he quotes a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim. Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tosa, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, quotes the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim just a couple of psukim ahead of where Vayivarech David is from. Ki mimcha hakol, because from you is everything, umiyadcha nasanu lach, and from your hand we're giving to you. Now it's almost like, you know, a person takes from one pocket and gives to the other. That seems silly. We would do something like that. But over here, we're supposed to have the perspective that, in other words, Hashem has given us resources, given us abilities, given us talents, that we're supposed to take it from Hashem and then give it back in terms of our service of Hashem. And that's the same idea, va'osher va'kavod milfanecha v'ata moshel bakol. Okay. Then we move on to the psukim from Sefer Nehemiah. Okay, before we move on, let's review. For a moment. Okay, so we've discussed two conclusions already. First, the conclusion of Baruch Hashem Le'olam, which are psukim of Siyum from within Sefer Tehillim. That wraps up the Hallelukas that began with Tehillah LeDavid. Then we move on to psukim of Siyum from Divrei Hayamim, which seem to kind of wrap up and close the circle from the original psukim that we started, Pesukei Dezimra, with the psukim of Hodu. Now, we're moving towards the Shiras Hayam. Now, Shiras Hayam, really, in a certain sense, the way we've just set it up, the Shiras HaYam is almost like its own separate entity within Psukei the Zimra, also as a conclusion of Psukei the Zimra, but kind of almost apart from the original structure of Psukei the Zimra. In other words, we'll set it up again. We have Hodu and Psukim from Divrei HaYamim to begin, and we conclude with Vayivarech David, Psukim of Divrei HaYamim at the end. After those Psukim, those original Hodu Psukim, we have the chapters of Tilel HaDavid and the Hallelukas. And within that, we have a mini conclusion of Baruch Hashem Le'olam, Amen V'Amen. So almost apart from that, one could make the case to say that apart from that, the Shiras HaYam stands as its own entity within Psukei the Zimra, as its own type of, we'll call it beginning and conclusion, of the all of the Psukim of praise of Hashem. And that is prefaced with the Psukim that begin from the Chemia, Atahu Hashem Levadecha, Ata Asisa, Sashamayim, Shemei Hashemayim, Vechol Tzva'am, Haaretz Vechol Asher Aleha, Hayamim Vechol Asher Behem, Ata Mechayes, Kulam, Utzva, Hashemayim, Vechol Mishtachavim. That's a long pasuk. You Hashem alone, Atahu Hashem Levadecha, you Hashem are alone, you are one and singular. We mentioned that at the beginning, I believe in the bracha of Baruch Sha'amar, that Hashem, that's one of the Ikarei Hemuna, that Hashem, Hu Levado Haya Hove V'Yihyeh. In other words, Hashem is alone in the sense that Hashem is the one entity in the entire universe and creation that is not dependent on any other entity. We are all and everything in creation is dependent on Hashem, but Hashem is detached and independent from everything else that's created. Ata Asisa Es HaShamayim, Shemei HaShamayim, Chol Tzva'am. Now, Rav Schwab points out over here, we have an interesting type of use of language. Ata Hu. Ata Hu is an interesting combination. Ata means you. Hu is he. It's almost Ata is second person. We talk to somebody. Hu is third person. He. What's this idea of Ata and Hu joined together? Ata Hu Hashem Levadecha. I mean, we say it, you know, just like that. But what if we break it down, it seems like a very interesting combination. And I think that can relate to what we discussed, I believe, 2 weeks ago in Ashrei, that we sometimes, we have this first person perspective. In Ashrei, we discussed, in terms of the moving forward and coming back, we discussed Aromimcha, and then we said, Dar l'dar yishabach ma'asecha. In other words, it was I will praise Elokai HaMelech, first person, and Dar l'dar yishabach ma'asecha, your third person. And there's this, we mentioned that in Birchas HaMitzvos, we do the same thing. Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kedishanu Mitzvosav, not the Mitzvosecha, and who has sanctified us through His commandments. We address Hashem directly, Ata, but we also address Hashem in the third person. We take a step back, Ata Hu. So in this paragraph, we say, Ata Hu Hashem Levadecha, Ata Sisa Es HaShamayim, Shemei HaShamayim. The way Rav Schwab kind of explains it is that there's elements that we are able to perceive in creation. Shamayim, the heavens. We look up, we see the heavens. Shemei HaShamayim refers to all of the aspects of the universe that we don't see. Shemei HaShamayim L'chol Tzva'am. Haaretz, we see the earth, we see, you know, terra firma, we see what's outside, but L'chol Asher Aleha, we don't see everything that's on the earth. We see whatever we're able to see from our vantage point, but there's so much beyond what we're able to see. Hayamim, we can see the seas. V'chol asher b'hem, we can't see everything that Hashem created within the seas. There are certain things that we can't see just because we're not in the ocean. But even if we are in the ocean, or even those who have dedicated their lives in exploration of the oceans, there are remote areas of the seas which are just unreachable. There are mountain ranges and things like that underwater. There's hayam and v'chol asher b'hem. So within creation, shemayim, shemei shemayim, haaretz, v'chol asher aleha, hayamim, v'chol asher b'hem, that's part of this idea of Ata and who? Ata, you. That's something that we attempt to relate to in a direct fashion when we relate to Hashem. Ata hu Hashem levadecha. That there's also the who aspect that we don't understand, that we are not privileged to be able to contemplate, but we try to recognize that idea as well by mentioning it in the third person. So Ata hu corresponds to Shamayim, we can see, Shema Shemayim we can't. Aretz we can, V'chol Asher Aleha is beyond our scope. Hayamim, yes, on one level, but V'chol Asher Behem, again, beyond our comprehension. V'ata mechayes kulam utzva Shemayim l'chol mishtachavim. Okay, now, just a word of context over here. These psukim in Nehemiah come from a point of time when the Jewish people recognized that they were lacking. They were lacking in many ways. They had been, their attempts to build the second Beis HaMikdash had come to a bit of a halt and a little snag, and they approached Hashem in supplication and with a contrite feeling, and then attempted to actually purge all of the sin from among them. And these psukim preface that, or are part of that effort to purge sin from amongst Bnei Yisrael. Again, it's a little bit shocking when one reads the words of Ksuvim of Nehemiah, where apparently the Jewish people at that time had intermarried in a serious way, and that was part of the efforts to try to clear out the elements among us that were not pure, and to approach Hashem in a new sense of purity. And the Leviim, who were members of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, got up and offered these words of prayer. It doesn't conclude. We only say a number of the psukim. The prayers continue, describing all of the sojourns of Am Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael and the like. But we take out a certain portion of there to lead us up to the Shiras Hayam. And we mention the fact, Atahu Hashem Elokim Asher Bacharta Avram. You, Hashem, chose Avram. Ve'otzeiso me'ur kazdim. You rescued him from Ur Kazdim. V'samta Shemo Avraham. And you changed his name to Avraham. You took Avram Avinu out from Ur Kazdim. That's a reference to what we know through our tradition of Avram Avinu being rescued from Ur Kazdim. That is a story which is not told, at least the story that we're familiar with, of Avraham Avinu being thrown into a Kivshan Ha'esh, into a fiery furnace by Nimrod when he smashed all the Avodah Zarah. That is a story we're familiar with. It does not appear in the Torah. The Ramban at the end of Parashas Noach discusses why it doesn't appear in the Torah. In any event, Hashem took Avraham Avinu out of Ur Kazdim and eventually brought him to the land of Canaan and changed his name to Avraham. What is the significance of that change, of that extra hey in the name Avraham, changing it from Avram to Avraham? The Torah says that Hashem tells Avraham, or Avram at that point, that I'm making you a Av Hamon Goyim. And Avraham is a contraction of Av Hamon Goyim, a father of a multitude of nations. And the Nitziv explains very beautifully that what that means is, or what that symbolizes, is the idea that Avraham Avinu was somebody who was a Yashar. Avraham Avinu was, in a very beautiful essay, the Nitziv, in his preface to Sefer Bereishis, discusses the idea that the Avos were Yesharim, they were upright, in the sense that they were always looking for the good in humanity, even in relation to those people who had different viewpoints, who did not agree with their teachings. So Avraham Avinu, the paradigm of this is Avraham Avinu davens for Hashem to spare the people of Sodom, or at least the righteous in Sodom, even though Sodom were the people who were antithetical to what Avraham Avinu's life was about. Avraham Avinu was about chesed. Sodom was about evil and the anti-Hachnasas Archim committee and things like that. But Avraham Avinu, nonetheless, was looking for the good in all people, in all situations. And in that sense, he was a father figure to a multitude of nations. Not only a father figure to what would become his family, because he's given the name Avraham before he even has his own children, but he's a father figure to humanity, because he represents the model for what people should be, as the pasuk in the beginning of Parashas Lech Lecha says, "V'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpachos ha'adama uvizarecha." And Rashi explains, what does that mean, that all people will be blessed through you? So you will be the model of example that when a parent wants to bestow blessing upon their child, who their child should be, the blessing will be, you should be like Abraham. Similar to what the Torah says in Parashas Vayechi, Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim Lechiminasha, that we bless our children to be, the male children to be like Ephraim and Menasha, so too, universally, there should be a concept of blessing of V'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpachos ha'adama uvizarecha. So that Avram, Hashem chose Avram and change his name into Abraham as a symbol of him being this universal model, role model. Umatzasa eslavavo ne'eman lefanecha v'charos imo habris. Now, in the Siddur, this is a fascinating thing, that the pasuk actually is not over. The way it's split up in the Siddur is that the second paragraph begins from v'charos imo habris. But that's really the middle of the pasuk. Umatzasa eslavavo ne'eman lefanecha v'charos imo habris l'seisus eretz haknani chiti amori aprizi avusi agigashi l'seisus haro. That's one pasuk, and you know, we kind of, for some reason, I'm not sure why, the Siddur kind of splits it up into two paragraphs. It could be those attending a bris milah, there are certain shuls that have the custom that the mohel actually gets up at this point and takes over for a couple of paragraphs from the chazan, from the charosi moha bris, which is referencing the bris milah, v'charos imo habris, you forge, you cut the agreement together with Avram Avinu, the covenant, l'seisus eretz ha'kanani chiti emari pisa evusi agrashi l'seisus haro, l'atakam estavarecha ki tzadik ata, and you maintain your word. Now, bris over here, we refer to the fact that Hashem made a covenant to give the land of Israel to the descendants of Avram Avinu, the land of Canaan, which would become the land of Israel. What does that have to do with the bris milah? In other words, referring to over here a double bris, A, the actual bris milah, and the bris that Hashem says that we are going to merit the land of Israel. And I think there are three levels of connection. We find that in Sefer Yehoshua, right before Am Yisrael enters into the land of Israel, they have to undergo a national bris milah day. That's the wrong way to say it, but that's what kind of what happens. The Bnei Yisrael, for a number of reasons, do not, besides Shev and Levi, do not keep the mitzvah of Bris Milah throughout their years in the Midbar. It was a dangerous type of thing to do, for whatever reason. And before we're going into the land of Israel, Yehoshua says, we have to engage in Bris Milah. And they do. Why? In other words, well, the why is right here, because the bris, when Hashem in Parshas Lech Lecha gives Avram Avinu the commandment of bris milah, he attaches to that bris the promise to have the land. But what's the connection between bris milah and the land of Israel? So on one simple level, the idea is it's kind of a, you know, it's a hand in hand. It's a tit for tat. In other words, here I'm giving you this deal. The deal is you have to do this, and then you're going to get that. In other words, you have to enter into my covenant through the bris milah, and then the reward for that covenant is the fact that you have the land of Israel. I think, though, we can understand that on another couple of levels as well. The idea is that we are the bris milah is a sign, at least for males, that we are Hashem's nation. The way the Sefer HaChinuch describes it, it's Os Kavua Begufo, that we are Hashem's people. Hashem sealed his covenant physically on Jewish males. We are Hashem's people. Now, as Hashem's people, we are privileged to have a land. In other words, we are Hashem's nation. The home of the Jewish nation is the land of Israel. So if we are able to identify ourselves as members of Hashem's tribe, so then we are worthy of receiving our homeland, the homeland of the Jewish people. But we can take it even a step further. The Eretz Yisrael, we sometimes refer to it as the Holy Land. But the Bris communicates symbolically to us that we are a holy people. We are a holy people, we are a special people. And particularly in the concept of procreation, of continuing the Jewish identity, the Jewish people, the symbol of the bris is what makes us holy. Now, as a holy people, we are worthy of a holy spiritual land. So the connection that Hashem creates between the bris milah and Eretz Yisrael means that if you are going to be my holy nation, so then you are going to merit my holy special land. So it's not only the concept of a tit for tat, you do this and I'm going to give you this. It's not only that you're my nation and therefore you're entitled to a Jewish homeland, it's also because you have identified yourself as a spiritual nation, as a nation with a spiritual calling, so then you're worthy to receive the spiritual homeland of Eretz Yisrael, of the land of Israel. So that's the concept over here. V'charosi Moab Ris, you identified Avram. You made him Av Hamon Gayim. You gave him the Bris, and the Bris is the forerunner of Avram Avinu being able to have a child together with Sarah to have a Yitzchak, and then be worthy of the land of Israel, which Hashem promises Avram Avinu. Okay, let's move on. That kind of then segues into the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Vateres Ani Avoseinu B'Mitzrayim. Yeshua points out that it's not Inoy Avoseinu. The pasuk over here doesn't say the affliction, it says the poverty. And he suggests that it's actually referring to the spiritual poverty of the Jewish people of Mitzrayim. Certainly there was physical poverty, but there was spiritual poverty as well. And through the Osos and the Mofsim, the wonders and the miracles that Hashem directed against Paro, Vatas lecha shem kayom hazeh, you have created a name for yourself, kayom hazeh. And Roshua points out beautifully over here that shem kayom hazeh means to this very day. This very day, the fact that Hashem enables us as a nation to continue to survive and, thank God, to continue to thrive is a shame, is a great testimony to the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His protective presence for Am Yisrael, kayom hazeh, to this very day. Shebechol yom, shebechol dar v'dar omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu, v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyadam. Okay, v'ayom bakata lifneihem, v'yavru b'soch hayom b'yabasha, v'esotfeim mishlachtam v'msalos k'mo even, v'mayim azim. And Hashem, you split the sea. We'll see in a moment. Here the word used by the pasuk is v'ayom bakata lifneihem. You split the sea in front of them, and you brought Bnei Yisrael through by Yavasha on the dry land. Vesod Feyem, Hishlachtam, Imsalos, and those who pursued them, you threw into the depths, Kimo Evan, B'mayim Azim, as a stone in mighty, tumultuous waters. Okay. Okay. Then, we now move to the Shir Esayam, starting from the paragraph of Vayosha Hashem, Vayom Ahu Es Yisrael Miyad Mitzrayim. Make sure that I caught everything. Okay. Vayosha Hashem, Vayom Ahu Es Yisrael Miyad Mitzrayim. Hashem saved the Jewish people on that day from the hands of Mitzrayim. Vayar Yisrael Es Mitzrayim Mesa Svas Hayam. And the Jewish people, standing at the seashore, saw the Mitzrayim dead. Vayar Yisrael Sayara Gdola Asher Asar Hashem Mitzrayim Vayiruam Es Hashem Vayaminu B'Hashem Uv'Moshe Avdo. And they believed in Hashem and in Moshe, his servant. In other words, they believed, they understood that Moshe was acting as the servant of Hashem, as Hashem's emissary to bring these miracles upon the four Bnei Yisrael and the punishments upon the Mitzrayim. Rav Schwab asks that the word emuna we usually associate with belief. Belief is something that we believe even though we can't see it. When we see something, we say seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. Seeing, you don't need to believe something if you see it. So why does the pasuk refer to over here of emuna if it was vayiru ames, well, vayiru, vayiru, this means they feared, but vayar Yisrael sayara gadola. We saw the mighty hand of Hashem. We didn't need emuna at that point. We were able to see it with our eyes. And the idea that he suggests is that the experience of Shiras of the Yamsuf, which leads into the Shira momentarily, but the experience of the Yamsuf was something that solidified the Emuna for Am Yisrael for all times. Vayaminu b'Hashem u'Moshe Avdo means, yes, right now we see it. Right now we're aware. But there are going to be times in the future where it's going to be difficult to see. But we rely, so to speak, on the bedrock of our belief comes from the experience where we saw it firsthand. That's exactly what the Ramban and the Rambam as well point out, certainly in the Ramban, that the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the reason why we have so many mitzvos to commemorate the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is that through all eternity, through all of our history, at times that we're not going to be able to see the hand, the clear hand of Hashem, we need to relate and identify those times where we did see it. So the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the miracles in the Makos and the miracles in Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Matan Torah, those were events where we clearly saw the hand of Hashem. Hashem revealed Himself, and that was to solidify our emuna in Hashem for all times. Because Hashem doesn't just appear when somebody comes and questions whether Hashem is there. Hashem doesn't just kind of, you know, bring down the bolt of lightning and just show up. But that's why we have all these mitzvot of Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim, because that was a time through which we were able to solidify our emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Vayaminu Bashem Moshe Avdo was not only for this moment, but that's really relevant to when we say it every day. In other words, we hearken back to the times of Ayar Hashem as Hayara Gdola Asher Asa Hashem in Mitzrayim. And this is 3,300 plus years ago. And we say, Vayaminu Bashem Moshe Avdo, that created a basis of belief, a bedrock of emuna for us to this very day. And that leads us into the Az Yashir Moshe, Uvenei Yisrael Asashira Azos Lashem. Rav Schwab questions over here if Az Yashir is the first Shira in the Torah. And Shira, he suggests that the difference between Shira and Zemer, Shira is poetry. In other words, a song, not necessarily a song with instruments and a song that we, a lyrical song, but a work of poetry where there's obviously more meaning than just the words themselves. There's more, there's feeling, there's emotion that's communicated through these words. And some point out that if you look in the Sefer Torah, when they lift up the Sefer Torah, Parashas Bishalach, you see it, that's the way it's organized in some Siddurim as well, there's spaces between the words. The pagination of the formatting of the Shira in the Torah is different than the regular writing of the Torah. The regular writing of the Torah is, you know, line by line. In the Shira, it's something called Ariach al Gabi Levena, which is a half brick on top of brick. It's stacked in a way like if you would build, take toy bricks and try to build up something high. So again, you wouldn't stack it straight up because then it topples over. You build it and you, well, just like you stack it. You stack it, and just like if you see the way bricks are laid, they're laid one on top of the other. So in the Torah, the way that the Shira is paginated and formulated is words, and then space, and then words, and then space, and words, and space. I don't have enough hands here to do that, but it's words, space, words, and then space, words, space. So it's stacked. And some point out that those spaces are, that's what was communicated but can't be articulated through words. It transcends words. It's the emotions, it's the feelings that transcend the words. Okay. Just a couple of points from the Shira. We mentioned before in Nehemiah, it says Vayom Bokata Lifneim. You split. We say Bokeh Hayam in Meirat, but we always refer to the Shiras Hayam as Kriyas Yamsuf, as the ripping of the sea. Kriya means to rip. So a thought that Rabbeinu Bechaya writes is that in fact the way he understands it, based on a Medrash Hayam Ra'av Ayanos, a Medrash that we don't have, but we do have, based on the pasuk in Hallel, Hayam Ra'av Ayanos, the sea saw and it fled. The way he understands what happened at Kriyas Yamsuf was actually not a split of a bekia, but more of a kriya of a rip. You would take a zipper and you open up a zipper, that's what happened to the Jewish people at the Yamsuf. What's the difference between a split and a zippering opening up? Well, because the zipper doesn't open, it's not like you just separate something, it's you have to open it. Step by step, bit by bit. And the way he explains is that the Jewish people, as they walked through the Yamsuf, every step, right in front of them was this massive wall of sea, and as they stepped forward, it parted in front of them, step by step. You know, like when the Hasidus Rebbe comes in, right? So every step, right, the people have to part away. Well, that's what happened at, I don't know which one is a bigger miracle, you know, that everyone else survives. But the idea was that the sea split every step of the way. What's the point of that? Why was it important for the sea to split every step in front of them and not in one open, one fell swoop? The point was to, again, solidify their emunah, their dependence on Hashem, every step of the way. Chazal say, Kashim izonos of shalodam kriyas yamsuf, that the sustenance of a person is also similar, akin to kriyas yamsuf, perhaps that idea of kriya, that which further in Parashas B'Shalach, Rabbeinu B'chaya points out, the same idea was expressed by the man. The man, we didn't have a full pantry or a cupboard or freezer or fridge in the desert. We got our daily ration of man day by day. It wasn't a week at a time, it wasn't a month at a time. Hashem could have done that much easier. The point was to solidify our amunah, our experience that every day's food came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu here. Every step of the way through the Yamsuf came from Hashem. That's Kriyas Yamsuf. Again, that concept of emunah. I'll just highlight one pasuk because we're running out of time and just have to finish up with the Yishtabach. The Zekeli v'anveyu Elokei Avi v'arom emenu. Chazal says, Zekeli v'anveyu, the Jewish people were able to point to Hashem. This is my God, v'anveyu, and I will glorify him, Elokei Avi v'arom emenu, the God of my father, and I will exalt him. And there are three interpretations on what the word v'anveyu means. V'anveyu can mean, Chazal, the Gemara says, anveyu means hisna'a lefanav v'mitzvos, the concept of hider mitzvah. V'anveyu, I will glorify him, refers to the way that I accomplish mitzvos. And the Gemara gives examples. I have a sefer Torah na'a. A person should have, I think the Gemara says, a lulav na'a. Mitzvah should be done in an ideal way. Now, does it make a difference to Hashem what kind of lulav we have or what kind of mitzvah we do? We're doing the mitzvah, whether it's the most ideal or not. We have a beautiful tefillin bag, right? Is that something that, you know, why is that different to Hashem? The point is that it shows for us it makes a difference. Yes, because it shows that we appreciate what this mitzvah is all about, and we want to do it in the most ideal way. That's one interpretation of the anveyu. To hisna elefan of the mitzvos. To try to do our best, to try to do what's called hider mitzvah. The second interpretation of anveyu, the Gemara says, anveyu is actually a contraction of the words ani v'hu. Ani, myself, v'hu, and Hashem. And what does that mean? That we're supposed to emulate Hashem. Mahu af ata. Just like Hashem is kind and compassionate and merciful, so too, we're supposed to emulate what we perceive as the midos of Hashem. Anivahu. Some actually connect the two things, the idea of hider mitzvah and this concept of emulating Hashem, and explain that there's a concept of hider mitzvah bein adam lamakom, that refers to the nice tefillin bag and the nice mezuzah and the nice sefer Torah. And the anivahu is actually a hider mitzvah in bein adam lechavero. Hider mitzvah in terms of how a person relates to another person, that's emulating Hashem, the midos of Hashem, being rachum and chanun, being kind and gracious, that's emulating Hashem, that is hider mitzvah in terms of bein adam lechavero. A third interpretation is offered by the Targum, naveh. Naveh means an abode. V'anveyu means that I will make a beis hamikdash for Hashem. And Rav Hirsch kind of combines all of these interpretations perhaps together and says v'anveyu doesn't mean that I'm going to create an edifice for Hashem, a beis hamikdash, an external beis hakneses or beis hamedrash. It means that I'm going to make myself into an abode for the Shechina. V'anveyu means I will create a house for the Shechina, not externally, but internally. And that really is a combination of all three pshatim. In other words, a person attempts to engage in hider mitzvah, bein adam lamakom, a person attempts to aspires to engage in hider mitzvah bein adam lechavero by emulating Hashem, by creating an abode for the Shechina within themselves. That's Zekeli v'anveyu. Okay, well, just one brief word about Yishtabach. Yishtabach is the formal conclusion of Psuke de Zimra. So again, just to wrap up, again, we discussed the conclusion, the small conclusion of Baruch Hashem Le'olam, which concludes the Prakam of Halalukas. We have Ayivarech David, which kind of brings full circle the praises of David HaMelech from Hodu to Ayivarech David. Then we segue into Az Yashir, which has its own standing as, according to Rav Schwab, the concept of the Namlichacha, where we proclaim Hashem's Malchus over dominion over the entire world. Az Yashir concludes with the pasuk of Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed. Bnei Yisrael clearly saw Hashem's hand, Zekeli V'Andeyu, pointing to Hashem. V'ayar Yisrael Sayara Gedola, that was their bedrock of belief, foundations of Emunah. And now we formally conclude Pesukei Zimra with the bracha of Yishtabach. Yishtabach, like we mentioned a number of weeks ago, does not begin with a Baruch Atah Hashem because it's really concluding from Baruch Sha'amar. And we mention words of praise of Hashem, Ki Lecha Na'eh Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. Na'eh means it's suited, it is well-fitting that Hashem be praised with all elements of praise. We mentioned 15 of them. One is supposed to try to concentrate on these 15 and try to not interrupt. Within them, Shir, Ushvacha, Halel, Vizimra, Oz, Amem Shalah, Netzach, Tilulah, Gvura, Tilah, Vesiferas, Kedusha, Umalchus. That might have been more than 15. There are 15 there. Virachos, Vahodos. Okay. Shir, Ushvacha, Halel, Vizimra, Oz, Amem Shalah, Netzach, Tilulah, Gvura, Tilah, Vesiferas, Kedusha, Umalchus, Virachos, Vahodos. Okay, 15. 15 words of praise. Rav Schwab points out, obviously they are nuanced in terms of their meaning. He does not explain all the nuances. I don't know all the nuances. But he does point out something fascinating, just that we can pick up here, that there's Lashon Zachar and Lashon Nekeva employed. Shir, that's Zachar, Ushvacha, Nekeva. Halel, Zachar, Vizimra, Nekeva. Oz, Zachar, Umem Shalah, Nekeva. Think about that and create another speech, another topic for a different time. But an interesting ha'ara, interesting little insight. Okay, and then we conclude with a bracha where we mention Kael Melech three times. Kael Melech Gadol Batishbachos, Kael Hodos, Adonathos Abacher B'Shem Zimra, Melech, Kael, Cheho Olamim. So the word Kael is said three times. He said, Melech, I only see two Melechs. Okay, we mentioned Kael Melech, Gadol Vatishbachos, who is great through praise, Kael Ahodaos, Adon Haniflaos, Habocher B'Shirei Zimra, Hashem chooses Shirei Zimra, songs of praise, but specifically the praise of Am Yisrael. We know that all of the Malachim, all of the entire universe sings praises of Hashem, but Hashem particularly hearkens to the praises of Am Yisrael, Habocher B'Shirei Zimra, Melech, God is King, and there's a comma, Kael, he is Kael, he is God, Cheho Olamim, he is the life-giver of the entire world. Again, a very, certainly, Shoresh U'Mekar HaChayim Shel Olamim, Hashem is the root and the essence and the life-giving force of the entire world. So again, this concludes the section of davening of Pesukei DeZimra. Pesukei DeZimra has, I think we started with, accomplishes three things. It's the warm-up for the rest of davening. That's the beginning. Some explain that it's Milashon Zomer. It's pruning away. It's trying to hone our concentration. And it gives us a chance to appreciate the opportunity and the experience of each and every day through as an opportunity to praise, to sing Hashem's praises, and to appreciate our individual roles as Avdei Hashem, as contributing members to society. We say Amen, Amen, Amen. So yes, we affirm that in Amen, Ken Yiratzon. So too, we should have the opportunity to be able to focus. I really appreciate all of you are coming to this shiur. It has given me an opportunity to spend time focusing and appreciating and learning, again, in addition to spending time with my mother and my wife, but it's given me an opportunity to, I really appreciate and spend time with you in terms of learning and deepening our appreciation for tefillah.